It's JT the Brick on Fox Sports 98.9 and 1340 AM.
We're building a brand here every day at 4 o'clock.
JT, live in Vegas.
I'm a dreamer, man. Call me a rah-rah guy. I love that. This is all a joke, everybody. I'm just practicing for something a couple of years in advance while other people are looking around and don't get what's coming.
It's JT the Brick talking Raiders, Golden Knights.
He shoots, he scores! Vegas wins in overtime! David Perron, 5-4, Golden Knights!
UNLV.
You don't want me talking UNLV football today, correct? I take the high road in life, dude.
That was a terrible call!
I like my team.
Oh, it's out of Josh Homer! Get up, get up, get up, get up!
Ah! This show, I can take calls. The number is 876-1340.
I always enjoy talking football. I'll attack all sports, Mr. JT. Thanks for the Grimaldi coupon I got last week.
I take the high road in life, dude. We're building a brand here every day at 4 o'clock.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick. Oh,
ah! Yeah, we're ready to go. JT, playoff hockey in Vegas this week. Two home games. On the flagship, Fox Sports Radio. Good to have you. Thanks to everybody at Golden Entertainment as they are leading in the Valley, promising you an unbelievable experience at all the PTs in town. My bar, the SG bar, the Stratosphere, the viewing parties, everything they're doing. Find a PTs, a PTs Gold, a Sierra Gold. You know where they are. They're all over 50 plus, I think maybe 60 now here in the Valley as they kick off our show for us every day. And I was telling Bobby, who runs the show, interesting day because we got a top yesterday. Yesterday we had a whole bunch of hockey fans in the first segment going balls out. Because I demanded it. I wanted it. Let's see if we can get it going again. And Bobby just handed me a box, very big box, and I'm going to open it. And it's our Stanley Cup playoff from the NHL. This is from the league. Our prize box with a hat, a puck, a T-shirt, a bag, a carry bag. We got five of them to give away this week. This week, one per day. And again, kind of a caller contest, best caller, most fired up guy or gal, whoever it is, we'll give these away. Bobby will be the judge of who gets it so I don't get the heat. But we're ready to go to hear from you, 876-1340. Remember, I work for Fox Sports Radio. We're based in L.A. I do the show every night in Vegas, but it goes through the air, magically, ISDN line from this studio to L.A. So the guys I work with are L.A. King fans, and they have big local stations there, and they're Kings crazy. Because the Kings now are thinking that they can win this because they don't believe that the Golden Knights are ready for primetime. They believe that the Golden Knights are a regular season, brilliant story. No one's going to get in the way of that story. It's a great story, but they believe in L.A. that the Knights are vulnerable in the postseason. Is that fair or not? I think real hockey fans, the diehards, understand playoff hockey is different. That's why these guys grow beards in the playoffs and they don't shave. And they're ornery. And they see each other every day. And they see the opposing team every other night. And they get used to playing that team. The Kings are loaded with some really good players. What have they won? Two out of the last six cups. Eddie Garcia is going to join us later in L.A. for Fox Sports Radio. He's a Kings fan. He knows the team. He'll tell you what to worry about with the Kings coming to town on Wednesday and Friday. The positives, I think, going forward is the fact that two great goaltenders, Quick and Fleury, no doubt about that. Kopitar and Carter and Doughty and the great players that they have. But as we've talked about, the Golden Knights have so much depth. They have so much depth overall with four different lines that the third and fourth line for the Golden Knights can beat the Kings' third or fourth line any given night. As I told you when I first did a deep dive with this team, the main difference with this team is that usually good hockey teams have a great first line and second line, and then it gets weaker at the third and fourth line. The Golden Knights came into the season and said, we're going to have four solid lines. And we didn't know that Wild Bill or a line with Neil or which line would be better. And now they've proven that all their lines have had historic moments this year. That's the way they got to win this series. They've got to win the series because of the depth of this team and what they can do. Gallant on the regular season and how they were able to get through that magical run.
Well, they come together great, obviously. We finished first in our division. We had 51 wins, so everything went pretty well for us. And it's a new season now, and we got to, keep battling, keep playing hard, and do what we did all regular season long. Win hockey games and take it one game at a time.
Yeah, you take it one game at a time, and he's the type of guy who can do this. Gallant's got a chip on his shoulder when he took this job, and his goal now is to win in the postseason. As a former player and a coach who's been around for a while, he understands the psyche of a team heading into the postseason, and I'm very confident with his experience. I mean, hockey coaches get fired left and right. You can win the Stanley Cup and 2 years later be gone. Because it's a finicky sport that these guys move around from city to city. And he's got a lot to prove in the postseason. The matchup with the Kings, Gallant takes the high road. He understands how good they are.
We're playing against a real good L.A. team that's had great playoff experience. They're well coached. They work hard. They compete hard. We all know the game they play. So it's going to be a battle, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I love the battle here. It will be because, you know, this comes down to matchups and which team is playing their best hockey at the right time. You know, the Knights have had a couple of hiccups down the stretch, but I think now the pressure in this series for the Knights, they're an expansion team. Maybe it's off of them.
I talked to our team today. You know, there's no pressure on the Vegas Golden Knights. You go play the game, you have fun, and it's one game at a time, and we see where we go with it. So it's going to be great. I feel great today, you know, being a chance to go and play in the playoffs. And like I said, it's going to be a battle, but it's going to be fun.
One other thing on Fleury starting and his ability to play and getting some rest down the stretch, he's the X factor. Everybody will tell you this. Hockey fans that have been watching the team for 1 year or hockey fans that have been 60, 70, 80 years old, you ride a hot goalie in the postseason. Only chance you have to win the cup is your goalie has to be elite. He doesn't have to be the greatest coming into the playoffs, but he has to play at an elite level the entire time. That's the difference with what we have.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, when we got him in the expansion draft, we knew what we had, and a guy with experience that he has, and he's going to help our players, and he's going to keep our players loose, and I'm sure that's how Pittsburgh done it, and he's going to be a great guy for our young team to go out there and get a lot of confidence in. So he's going to be awesome.
All right, the show started 9 minutes ago. Let's get some hockey fans fired up again. I prod and push to wake fans up. Hockey's in town. The NHL's here. The Stanley Cup was here. I was down at the practice facility. The place is buzzing. Let's get moving. 876-1340. 876-1340. Kevin Kernan will join us a little bit later on. He's down covering the Mets. The Mets are the hottest team in baseball. I reached out to him today. He said he'd like to come on. We're going to try to corral him in. And Michael Gelkin, who covers the Raiders for the Review Journal. He's up there at the Raiders OTAs. We're going to talk to him in a little bit. And as I said, Eddie Garcia, who covers hockey for Fox Sports Radio, and he's a pretty good Kings insider. One other thing on this, we're looking to get Curry Bulbaltz on here to talk about the ticket experience here in town. And I'd like to hear from you because I just got a phone call from a ticket broker in Dallas who's a very good friend of mine. So he covers tickets nationally. And he called me up and he said, "What's going on?" I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "I'm looking at my broker exchange. The tickets are out of control. Who's selling? Do you know anybody?" I go, "I have no idea what you're talking about." I go, "I got friends who have tickets. They're not selling game one. I got friends who have tickets. They're not selling game two. Fans should not be selling tickets. This is the topic of the day. You sell tickets to pay for your entire ticket package so you can enjoy the playoffs. If you sell your playoff tickets and they get in the hands of Kings fans, you're an embarrassment. Take off your jersey and walk away in shame. There are plenty of fans in this town that will buy your tickets for a premium, and they'll meet you right outside T-Mobile and do a transaction with you. Do not sell your tickets to Kings fans. It's Sports 101. It's Sports 101. Don't do it. And I know people are tempted to do it. Hey, man, I can pay for game 5 and 7 if I sell game 2. Yeah. But then again, you can't sell it to a Kings fan. They can drive here in 4 hours. They want your tickets. Be sharp about that. Let me know your ticket experience. Are you even considering selling your tickets? Are you looking to put them up there? 876-1340. Paul, start us off on the Knights flagship. Go ahead.
Well, I got to tell you a couple things. First and foremost, I'm so thrilled that you're out here and you're pushing the Vegas Golden Knights because this is something that the city needed so desperately. And we hear that all the time, but here's my point. No matter how Vegas ends in this, there's going to be a story to tell. And I think that if we can get past the Kings, which I believe we can, we've already shown that we've got the skill set, we've got the lines that do it, we've got a loud, loud fan base, that there's no way that we can go in there and be shameful. And to your point about the tickets, any idiot who's going to sell their tickets to anybody else other than another Vegas fan needs to be put away. That's all I got.
Well, one last thing on that. You're right about that. The question is the person buying the tickets on the secondary market, let's just go with StubHub, for example, are they lying? Are they lying about that and just seeing the price and hitting the bid on the price and not saying that they are Kings fans or Knights fans? Because it's tough to vet people. If I'm vetting people on Craigslist or if I'm vetting people that I know in my neighborhood, I think I got a pretty good idea. But if you go on some of these secondary markets and you go to NHL.com or if you go to sell your tickets at StubHub, there are ways for the opposing fans to lie about it. They'll even walk up to you in a Vegas Golden Knights t-shirt and lie to you to buy the tickets.
Well, absolutely. And there is no way to guarantee that you're giving it to another Vegas fan. That's why you got to keep it in your hands. You got to put your butt in that seat, and you got to show them, look, you know what? I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not giving this to anybody else. You keep the damn ticket.
Yeah, I would agree. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that, Bobby. And make sure we keep him in mind there, Paul, and we can get back to him on this prize package. Again, we got a box to give away from the NHL every day for the next 5 days, 876-1340, in regards to the best callers checking in and getting behind this. It's a really big story. I mean, this is a big deal because I'm going to get to Conor McGregor and Floyd and the potential of them to fight coming up in the octagon, which to me is a joke again. I'd go watch it. It's an absolute embarrassment and a joke if they're going to pull this off again, but people will. But there's not going to be a bigger story until the Raiders get here. And with all due respect to the Knights, when the Raiders get here, if the Raiders are playing in playoff games in front of 70,000, 65,000, that's probably the biggest thing to ever happen in this town. As of tonight, this is the biggest thing happening in this town with two playoff games this week. Home ice advantage in the first round of the postseason. I mean, home ice advantage is huge. I mean, you got to count on winning a game or so in this best of seven exclusively on home ice. But the Kings have the experience to go into a hostile environment and find a way to win. 876-1340. Let's move to Floyd Mayweather, who's now trying to spin to everyone that he's ready to go into the octagon and resume his career.
Retirement has been great, but as you know and everybody know, I go in retirement, I come back. Is it possible that I come back? Yes, but if I do come back, it has to be in the octagon.
And then we get into what some of the leaked stipulations would be, that there'd be no takedowns and there'd be no kicking. How is that possible that Conor McGregor has agreed to fight Floyd, had agreed to fight him with boxing rules and adhered to all the boxing rules, and now there's an opportunity for Floyd to come into the octagon and not fight under MMA rules, that he'd be able to cherry pick the things that you're not allowed to do that are coming up here. I'll tell you, Floyd is amazing. I think he understands that Conor has been through a bunch here over the last couple of days, and he'll wait him out.
As of right now, you know, Conor McGregor has other things to deal with. Me, myself, I can do whatever I want to, when I want to, and how I want to.
Yeah, and I think that Floyd deserves our respect to get into the octagon and punch. He's a better boxer, and that's part of the skills. He's a better striker. He's a much better defensive fighter than Conor McGregor. So if it feels more like a boxing match in the octagon, will you diehard MMA guys buy into this crap? Really? I mean, if you're not allowed to do certain things like kick and take him down to the ground, then why do we have to have it in the octagon? Why don't we just have another fight? Why don't we have boxing, but we'll let you fight in the clinch, or we'll do something and put it in the squared circle instead of the octagon? For Floyd, I think the weight also could be a big issue because people are wondering if Conor's got to put on weight or Floyd would come down.
When I do go to the octagon, I look forward to going to probably around 145, if that's a weight class. I think around 145. But, you know, right now I got my promoter hat on.
All right, and then finally the numbers on this because of what both fighters were paid last time. I think this is the key to the whole conversation. Dana White probably initially didn't want to have Conor and Floyd fight because he talked down about it before it was ever dreamed up. Now that Dana's seen the money, Floyd's cashed the money, Conor is now a multi-millionaire because of one fight, they're obviously both going to want to do it again.
$100 million, $200 million, $300 million. Throw it out there. Half a billion.
You got to talk to Showtime, CBS, and my team. You talk to my team about that. You know, we all get on the same page, and we'll see. Of course, the number's going to be crazy.
All that sound courtesy of Showtime. Here's what bothers me about this, because I love boxing so much. Floyd Mayweather, you cannot debate his 49-0. His 50th fight was a sham. It was Conor McGregor, who never boxed before. So I don't look at 50-0. I look at 49-0. And the fact that Floyd Mayweather waited out Manny Pacquiao. He fought a lot of guys too early. Canelo should have never fought him early in his career. And then he waited out other guys. And he fought guys who were inferior to him on his terms. If Floyd gets into the octagon, I have a lot of respect for him. Again, the rules aren't going to be perfect. You and I are not going to love the rules. And they'll be negotiated on. I'll tell you one thing about Floyd, who lives in this town. He's got brass balls if he goes into the octagon, and there are certain aspects of MMA that he's going to have to learn quickly and get in front of the notorious one. There's a chance for injury. There is a chance for serious injury if he does it. But as I always said, I think that Floyd is broke or will go broke. He will go through all of his money and have none, and then he'll either be in bankruptcy, he'll have to pay the feds, he'll always have to pay the IRS, so he'll always be chasing. The good news for Floyd now is he's chasing $100 million. That's kind of nice. And then he's going to get to a point where he's chasing $25 million. Then he's going to get to a point where he's chasing club appearances for $5,000 because Floyd loves to gamble. And if you gamble that much, that aggressively, you will go broke. Show me the athlete has gambled his entire life at the level of Floyd and has a penny to show for it. So Floyd's doing this because of the money, because he's currently running out of the money, and he's going to need money, and Conor McGregor gives him easy money for one night. You know, 3 months of training, but one night of work. All right, we're off to a good start. Coming up next, we'll talk to Michael Gelkin, a really good insider on the Raiders up in Oakland, on what's happening in OTAs. John Gruden put his foot down in the offseason. There's a bunch of new players on this team. We'll talk to Michael about the players that we should keep an eye on. Kevin Kernan from Miami on the Mets with the connection to the 51 still for a year. And then we'll talk to Eddie Garcia in Los Angeles from Fox on what the Kings bring to the table in the round one matchup against your Knights.
I feel this is the thing to do. This is what I want to do. This is the organization that I want to be a part of, and I'm all in. I only live one time. This is something that I feel deeply, strongly about, and I'm going to do everything I can to put the Raiders back on track.
You better believe it. He means it. John Gruden, head coach of the Silver and Black. JT the Brick Show, Fox Sports Radio. The cover story today, along with the Knights and the playoffs coming up, no pack, no Mac at spring workout as the Raiders are currently underway with their workouts, which is voluntary, and there is no Khalil Mack. Michael Gelkin, Raiders beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, joins us. Michael, a surprise with no Mack there, or did you expect this because of the enormity of the contract and this is just part of the negotiation?
I did expect it, given the enormity of the deal, as you said. You know, Khalil Mack, within a month's time, the Raiders hope, will be paid a salary that will rival a lot of quarterbacks in this league. And when you're talking about that amount of money for a player who, you know how these workouts can go, especially when you're on the field in OTAs, when the pace of things pick up, you know, certain guys, you know, it happens every year where guys can go down with ACLs or Achilles, or you just really never know what can happen. And even though Khalil Mack has done, you know, knocking on wood here, a fantastic job of being able to stay healthy. The guy takes care of his body. Raiders are very confident that when he shows up, he's going to be in tip-top shape. Even though he's got that background, you just never know. And when you're talking about this much money, it's best to stay away and go things with your own process, away from the team facility. It's fairly standard given the scale of this contract.
Yeah, I agree. He deserves it. I mean, he deserves it. And I thought Carr deserved it, too, and he was the highest-paid quarterback. Then it was Stafford, and then you go to the Garoppolo contract and Kirk Cousins. This changes often. I compare Khalil Mack to Von Miller. I compare him to Lawrence Taylor, which is high praise for me. I watch Lawrence Taylor play, and I think it's imperative that the Raiders get it right for their future before they get to Vegas and locking him up long-term. What do you think is going to be the biggest difference in this negotiation with Mack compared to Carr?
I think there's probably more of a comfort from the agent based on his history of just playing out the strain. You look at what Joel Siegel has done. I mean, he's been through the cornerback with the LA Rams. He's been through it before where, you know, a negotiation that, you know, wasn't realized with an immediate long-term extension. It was a franchise tag 1 year, and then it was a franchise tag the other year. I'm talking about Tremaine Johnson, and then ultimately signed a very lucrative long-term deal with the New York Jets and got away from the Rams. That's obviously something that the Raiders aren't looking to achieve. They want this to be done this year. They want to avoid having to really kick the can down the road. And Khalil Mack, he's 27. He's a little older than maybe your typical player who's looking for his second contract in the league. So, you know, if he was to kick the can twice with a franchise tag, you know, we're sitting here in 2020 and he's still 29 years old looking for his first long-term deal of his career. I think that both sides will work to avoid that, but that's probably the biggest difference is just, you know, the agent, mm-hmm. Joel Siegel, he's got a history of slow playing these sorts of deals.
Michael Gelkin, Las Vegas Review-Journal, joins us. He covers the Raiders. He's up in the Bay Area. And Michael, I find it really interesting now with John Gruden. Why Marshawn Lynch? Why not Marquette King? And I like Marquette a lot. He was great to cover, fantastic, really good guy. Got to know him well. And I was kind of surprised just because of his stats and his athletic ability and his youth and all that. But the salary cap hit, his entertainment value and the penalties that came along with him. Just your opinion on why this went down and where the Raiders go on special teams.
You know, I know what the agent told me, and what the agent told me is what he says Reggie McKenzie told him, and that explanation in terms of why the Raiders moved on from Marquette King is because the team had a philosophical shift in terms of how much money they were willing to invest or devote toward the punter position. There's no doubt that Marquette King deserves to be paid around what the Raiders were scheduled to pay him this year, which was a $2.8 million salary. I don't think anyone would say that Marquette King was overpaid based on what he's done in this league. Third in the NFL last season in net punting average of 42.7 yards, and frankly, it could have been higher than that if the coverage at times was there downfield. So I think there's merit to that in terms of just wanting to go for a young punter, perhaps Michael Dixon of Texas, someone who would cost a fraction of what Marquette King, and I mean a fraction, probably about a quarter or so of cap hit this year and cash invested in a young rookie punter, relatively speaking, compared to Marquette. So I think that's part of the equation. And I also think, yeah, there might be something to the off the field or I suppose on the field, but post play, you know, theatrics. And I want to say it somewhat kindly because I think Marquette King comes from it from a very positive,
yes,
well-meaning place of just trying to make the game fun. Football does not define Marquette King. And so with a dance here, with a flag, or whatever it may be, he's going to be Marquette. And that might not be for everybody. And so there, you know, whether it be John Gruden, whether it be Rich Bisaccia, the new Raiders special teams coordinator, who certainly has shown he wields a lot of control over the roster decisions as it relates to special teams personnel, with Keith Smith being added I'm drawing a blank on the linebacker he added as well. But I think there would be no surprise if it was that factored into the decision as well.
Michael Gelkin, as we wrap it up, so here's the big key question, is that the Raiders were possibly interested in Ndamukong Suh. He canceled. You look at the higher-tier free agents that the Raiders weren't in the market for, and then you hear this term, second-tier free agency. And I thought the Raiders were tremendously active. I mean, it's tough for me to keep up every day with everybody they signed over the last couple of weeks here. Give us the big picture on some of the additions on defenses, the bodies that they're plugging into holes now. Do you believe these guys are going to stick, or they're going to be guys who are competing in training camp up against these new draft picks who are coming in? Because they brought in a lot of new faces here who are trying to make this team, especially on D.
Yeah, I do think some of these guys will stick. There's no doubt about it. And there's other ones who certainly, you know, look at Leon Hall. You wonder at this stage in his career what he'll be able to really, you know, contribute from a role standpoint, but from a veteran know-how and a history with Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator, you know he will be able to contribute in some fashion. So I think the Raiders are going to get a lot out of their free agency class. Kyle Wilbur was the name I was looking for. John Gruden thinks he can be a special teams captain. Rashawn Melvin as a cornerback opposite Gerrion Conley. You have Whitehead as a linebacker, you know, defensive line. I think we're still looking for what the Raiders can do there. I think that spot and wide receiver are, based on what the Raiders didn't do in free agency, are areas that we can look for them to do somewhat early in the draft, certainly defensive line, interior rusher. I think based on the Raiders' pursuit, Ndamukong Suh tells you that perhaps with Vita Vea in round one, that could be an option for them. After the Raiders signed Jordy Nelson, they weren't satisfied at the position. They hosted Ryan Grant. They hosted Eric Decker, neither of whom they have signed thus far. Grant's elsewhere. Decker is unsigned. He's still a free agent. So I think this offseason is still shaping up, but based on the veterans that they added, you know, with the depth signings, the special team signings, they have a long – I mean, they did a lot of here, and I think in the end it boils down to John Gruden hoping that he can instill what he hopes to instill from a locker room culture standpoint. It's not just the volume or magnitude, the number of guys the Raiders brought in. It's the character that Gruden believes they identified and added to their locker room.
I definitely think it was much needed, and it shows how hard Gruden and Reggie have been working to get bodies in there and guys with a proven track record. Michael, always value your time. You're a tremendous addition to the show as we're trying to get people up to speed on the Raider Nation in Vegas. Thank you.
My pleasure. Take care.
All right. Michael Gelkin, you read him every day. He's writing a column every day at the RJ, doing a really good job grinding it up there. We appreciate that. When we come back, Kevin Kernan will join us from the field or in the press box. And we're covering the Mets. The Metsies, better than my Yankees. I'm wearing a Yankee jersey today. I have a brand new backyard brick. Join me in my backyard as I run Giancarlo Stanton out of town. Follow me on Twitter, at JTTheBrick, brand new backyard brick. The video is up. Man, I want Bryce Harper. Can you take Stanton and give me Harper, please?
We spoke about the direction of the team. I wanted us to go forward and have an advance with the pitching staff. I thought our lineup was legit, and we needed help with our pitchers, and we needed to add rather than subtract. The way they wanted to go was to subtract. So I let that be known. I didn't want to be a part of another rebuild, another losing season. And that's almost a guaranteed losing season, taking away what I thought was a great lineup. So, yes, I didn't want to be a part of a rebuild.
Well, that's Stanton with the Yankees. You know where I stand with him. Pretty upset with the slow start. But I'm talking about the Mets off to the best start in baseball. Kevin Kernan, kind enough to join us, longtime columnist, now with the New York Post, and he's been a friend of mine for years, one of the best sports writers on top of being a baseball writer out there. Kevin, good to talk to you, especially covering a team that's red hot.
JT, it's always great to talk to you, and yeah, the Mets are having some fun, and you know, I bounce back and forth between the Yankees and the Mets, but kind of mostly Mets, and this spring, I felt so strong about them, JT, that I picked them to be in the World Series in the post-preview. I really believe that. I love what Dave Ireland has done as the pitching coach and Mickey Callaway as the manager. They basically are doing what I've been saying for years you should do with players. Hold them accountable and make them work. If you do that, you have success. If you have talent, and that's what's going on here.
Well, most know the Mets pitching, and especially those of us in Vegas with the minor league relationship, but I wanted to know about why you were so bullish with this lineup top to bottom and what you think the strength of the lineup is.
Yeah, I think it's a better lineup than people thought going into the season. Now, Cespedes is struggling right now. He's had the flu, so he's not himself. But I am a huge, and I can't say this enough, and it's not just because I'm from Jersey, but I'm a huge Todd Frazier guy because he does baseball things. He plays baseball. And we're in an age, JT, where people don't look at baseball. They look at shifts. They look at this. They look at numbers. They forget about baseball. And I thought Todd would be a uniting force on this team and also bring out the best in Cespedes because he has a way of doing that with teammates, and they have been terrific together. And I thought Todd did a great job with the Yankees last year, everything, you know, from the thumbs down to you know, just taking the pressure off the kids. And that was overlooked completely by the Yankees, overlooked by everybody in baseball. And I thought Todd would help this lineup tremendously. And you guys know Conforto and right down the lineup. I think it's a pretty solid lineup.
Kevin Kernan is our guest. And talk about Cabrera at shortstop, 324 out of the gate so far this year, and the stability he brings not only defensively to that infield, but showing some pop early.
Yeah, Rosario's been a great addition, and you know, he learned some lessons last year. You know, it was a little bit too much of begging to come up to the majors, and he's kind of figured it out. Jose Reyes has taken him under his wing. He's helped him in everything. And even little things, JT, like, you know, like last night after the game, got a couple big hits. And he did his interview in English, you know, and he's really working hard. Cespedes, I spoke to Cespedes yesterday, and Cespedes told me in English, he talked about the relationship he has with Frazier. So these Mets have bonded pretty well together, and I think that's a big thing you need in this day and age because it's just too long a season, too tough. And I do think that it was Terry Collins was a good manager for many years for the Mets, but they just needed a fresh voice, and that's what Callaway has given them. He's also a creative guy. He lets little things go. He doesn't get beaten up by little things like Cespedes wearing his hat backwards, doing batting practice and things like that. So it's a nice combination, and you throw in the big guys, Syndergaard and DeGrom and the pitching staff, and Familia's numbers are off the charts. What he is doing, they've done a little tweak. Ivan's done a little tweak with his back leg, and he's got him throwing. He's not collapsing on the back leg, essentially. So now he's got much more movement, much better command. And, you know, he's got five saves in nine games, which is like your third most in Major League history over the first nine games. So it's a fun little show right now.
Wrapping it up with Kevin Kernan, who joins us from the New York Post. Walk me off the ledge, my friend, on Stanton and Judge. I look at them together, and I just don't see it. It looks great when they both hit a home run in a game, but they're swinging and missing, and the strikeouts are insane already. I'm a Bryce Harper guy. Bryce Harper's only coming free once in his career. He's got the same swing as Mantle. He'd like to attack that short porch. I thought that the Yankees would have been prudent to save some of that money to go after Harper. Are the Wolves at the door already? I know Stanton's been booed by the fans. How do you think it's going to work with Judge and Stanton?
I think the Wolves are at the door already, rightfully so. Stanton's got to make some adjustments in the way he's approaching every at-bat. You know, I've been watching him closely. I am a Judge fan. I think he's come a long way. But Stanton, it's first-time pressure in New York. I'm with you on Harper. One little quick Harper story that I know you've never heard before because I got it directly from the scout. Harper is in the old Yankee Stadium as a young kid. There's some kind of Yankee tryout. You know, they bring people in. And Harper, a friend of mine was pitching that day. And Harper hits about five or six into the upper deck. And, my friend who was pitching that day turns to him and said, "Hey, nice job, kid." And he says, "Yeah, I'll be doing that in about 7 years for the Yankees." So, you know, Harper has wanted to come here forever. He can't. And I think we're beginning to see where Harper is when he turns it on. I have a great relationship with the guy. I think he's a tremendous player. I hope, and the Yankees have so much money, I don't think they're out of it yet, but it would have been, if it does come down to money, then there's no sense in what they're doing. They should have saved the money for Harper, but I still think they'll go after Harper.
But last thing to clarify, I can't even imagine Judge, Harper, and Stanton on the same team, considering how much they cost. Would they have to move one of the two? Could they get out of one of those deals, or are you suggesting they can do all three?
Well, Judge is really, you know, he doesn't have any, he's not expensive right now.
Yes.
So they can get away with that, maybe figure it out down the road. You put Harper in center field, then you have a dream team. And Stanton, we'll see, as a DH. But I think they can do it. I think the Yankees have more money than anyone else in baseball. And I think if they fail, they always follow the same recipe. If they fail, they will go out and spend money. They'll find a way.
Kevin, thanks so much. Great to connect with you. I hope to see you soon. And you know how much I think of you, and I appreciate your time.
Very kind, JT, and love being in Vegas. And I see the weather's finally warming up for you guys.
It'll be great. I'll talk to you soon. Take care, my friend.
Take care.
Kevin Kernan from the New York Post. Great to get him. He's at he's in Miami with the Mets, and he covers both teams for the New York Post. And again, I have a backyard brick up today. It's one of my rants, my video rants on. I'm not just doing this because Stanton has 20 strikeouts. 20 strikeouts, and Judge has 13. The point is, I don't think you need those two players who are oversized every day swinging at pitches they can't reach. Bryce Harper, I'm a Harper fan. Harper can run, he can bunt, he can field. He's a better player. Now he's more expensive. It would be a shame if the Yankees don't have a shot at Harper because they signed Stanton. So that's the only thing I'm saying on the record. If Stanton hits two home runs tonight, I'm going to fall out of my chair. I'm going to love him. Yankees are my DNA, but I just don't like the fit. I have a bad feeling. I've been watching these games so far this year. It is ugly when a big, big guy misses a baseball. Because when you miss by a lot. And 33 strikeouts coming into tonight for Stanton and Judge. Coming into the game tonight. When we come back, Eddie Garcia, my teammate on Fox Sports Radio, a really sharp hockey guy. This will be the best analysis you get on the Kings, maybe other than the play-by-play voice of the Kings. So Golden Knight fans, get out to a PT's. Join me at the SG Bar on Wednesday and Friday night to watch a couple of periods if you don't have a ticket. This town is ready. It's officially a hockey town with home ice advantage in the first round. How cool is that?
Knights coming towards center. Here comes Carlson. Ahead with Schmidt, 2-on-1. Carlson on the right. He waits. He shoots. He scores! Hat-trick Carlson! 4-0 Vegas with 5 minutes to go in the second. 3 goals and a natural hat-trick for William Carlson.
What a year he had. So many great outstanding years and an inaugural season for an expansion team, home ice. In the postseason, starting off tomorrow against the LA Kings, I'm thrilled to bring in a really sharp hockey insider and my teammate on Fox Sports Radio, Eddie Garcia. Eddie, if me and you were sitting around in Sherman Oaks 3 or 4 years ago and I said Kings and some Vegas team in the playoffs, what would you have said?
I would have said, give me some of what you're smoking. Yeah. Vegas, what are you talking about?
It's incredible because you are based in L.A. and you go to a lot of Kings games, you play hockey, and then you start watching this team out of Vegas. What jumped out at you early in the season and kept your attention?
Honestly, their resiliency. Because, you know, when they got off to a nice start, everyone said, okay, well, that's nice. It's a nice start, but we'll see how they handle some adversity when they start to lose. And then they lose their number one goalie, Marc-Andre Fleury. Then they lose their number two goalie, Malcolm Subban. Then they're down to like their fourth and fifth goalies, and they're still winning. And I'm like, wait a minute, these guys have got something here. They're not folding when the bump in the road happens. There are not many teams in the NHL that could keep playing consistently well when you're going down to the AHL and bringing up the backup in the AHL. So when they had that adversity with their goaltending situation injuries early on, and they still kept playing well, that's when I said, you know what, we better keep an eye on these guys because there might be something going on here that's going to be special. And boy, I'll tell you, they did. What an amazing year. You know, the greatest season for an expansion franchise in any sport ever. It's been impressive. And I was able to get out there in February and see the Kings and Golden Knights play and got to check out T-Mobile Arena. It was very impressed. Great atmosphere. A lot of fun. And I didn't know at the time it'd be a preview of the first round of the playoffs. But I thought hockey would work in Vegas. I really did. And this story, and for that organization to get off this kind of a start, and to grow some roots quickly and really get excitement in the community. What a great thing for that organization.
Eddie Garcia is our guest, Fox Sports Radio. I've worked with him for years, and he's a go-to guy for hockey. Now tell me the strengths of the Kings in this matchup. I've been telling fans all week as we're on the flagship that when you're dealing with Carter and Kopitar and Doughty and you look at Quick, those are players who are battle-tested and experienced, even though the Knights are a very good team and their chemistry has been tremendous. Fleury's got that postseason and cup experience, but a lot of these guys don't. What's the strength of the matchup for the Kings?
Well, it's defense and it's experience, as you said. The Kings were the best defensive team in the NHL. They got the best penalty kill in the NHL, so it is hard to score goals against them. And obviously, that's the name of the game. At the end of the day, it's about who gets more goals in the net. And the Kings are very difficult to play against. They're not a fun team to play against. They will make you earn every goal that you score. And as you said, the experience is there. They've got a core group of guys who have won Stanley Cups, in some cases multiple Stanley Cups. Andre Kopitar had a career year. I think he should be in discussion for the Hart Trophy. Unfortunately for him, there's like 10 other guys that also have legitimate claims to be in the discussion as well. But, you know, it's going to be a great contrast of styles, I think, JT. You've got the Kings who play that low-scoring, grind-it-out defensive style of hockey, and the Golden Knights who are an explosive, quick, fast team. And, you know, a few years back, John Tortorella was then the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he had a team motto that got a lot of attention because they went on to win the Stanley Cup, and it was, safe is death. I think the Golden Knights would be well to embrace that motto. I think safe is death for them. Don't be afraid to play your game. Don't feel like because it's now the playoffs, you got to start blocking shots and doing those things. Don't change what got you to where you are. Be explosive. Put pressure on the Kings, use your speed, use your skill, and go after them. And if you lose playing your style, then so be it. But don't get into the Kings style of play. Don't feel like you got to, you know, play it safe. I think safe is death. Go after them, and whatever happens, happens.
Wrapping it up with Eddie Garcia, what about a rivalry? You and I always talk about rivalries. We're fans first and broadcasters second. And Vegas had a lot of Kings love and still does because of all the Kings trips out here to play at the MGM, and they'd play a preseason game here. And I think there are a lot of Kings fans that can get to Vegas quickly here, but it's an impossible ticket, impossible, the next two nights unless season ticket holders are selling their tickets to Kings fans and they're being told not to. So talk about what this rivalry can become with the Ducks and the teams like the Sharks out west.
Well, you know what? The cliche is that rivalries are made in the playoffs. And it's a cliche because there's a lot of truth to it. You build up when you face the same team every other night for potentially six or seven games, like I think this series will likely go. It's easy to build up some real honest hatred. I know the NHL early on seemed like they wanted to push an Arizona-Vegas kind of a rivalry because they're two newer teams, both desert communities, and maybe that was some sort of a natural thing. But you can't force these things. They happen organically. And as you know, look, L.A. is the big brother, if you will, the big city. You know, they've had some success. They've won a couple of cups. I think that made them a natural kind of an enemy or a rivalry type situation. And I think playing them in the playoffs will only make that greater. So I'm not surprised to see that this has kind of turned into early on a rivalry game. And I think it can certainly go a long way in taking it to another level with this playoff series.
Last one, Eddie. I know the favorites in Tampa Bay and Nashville, but do you have a gut feeling on who could really cause some damage here in the postseason? Is there a team that you're looking at that's not an elite top one or two seed that can win the cup?
You know what? It's crazy to say this, but it's Pittsburgh.
Okay.
How can the Penguins, who've won two Stanley Cups in a row, be an afterthought? But they are. People are talking about Nashville and Winnipeg and Boston and Tampa Bay, even Toronto. No one's talking about Pittsburgh, and that's amazing to me. But, you know, as Rudy Tomjanovich once said, don't doubt the heart of a champion, they're probably going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals again because I think their path is a little bit easier coming out of the Metropolitan Division. And, again, it sounds stupid to say Pittsburgh is an underdog and they're kind of laying in the weeds, but I think they kind of are this year.
Thank you, Eddie. It's great that we can do this. We go back a long way, and you can imagine how thrilled we are in Vegas to have playoff hockey and to play a team like the Kings. It's going to be a great couple of weeks. I'll talk to you again.
Thanks, JT. Anytime.
You got it. Eddie Garcia, Fox Sports Radio. Really appreciate his time. And that was a great commentary about what you have to worry about with the Kings, and we'll play that again tomorrow, that snippet of it, is that they're just tough to score on. They're physical. They make you work for goals. So what it sounds like to me is that Vegas is going to have to get the lead. They're going to have to get the Kings to come out of their defensive style of play and get them to make mistakes and build on that, because the Kings are used to close-scoring games, and they're, as Eddie said, the best defensive team out there. Look at my Yankees, down 3-0 in the second inning to Boston. Severino getting pounded. That'll make it 4-0. Red Sox out of the gate really strong here as the Yankees and Red Sox meet up at Fenway Park for the first time this year. It really looks like it's not snowing, Bobby, but you can't have more layers of clothes on if you're a fan. I mean, the fans are in winter coats, knit hats, winter coats on top of winter coats. Oh, and we had our first 90-degree day today, or at least on my app, it said it was going to become 90 degrees. See, it's 88. So it's supposed to get to 90 degrees at 6:15 p.m. So there you go. Our first 90-degree day. Is that good or bad? I think it's good. I like the heat. I love 90 to 105. And then I like 105. I can live with 105 to 110. It's just the 110 to 117 that I need the beach. Another great show, Bobby. Way to go. We put it together. Michael Gelkin on the Raiders. Eddie Garcia on the Kings in hockey, and Kevin Kernan from the New York Post on the Mets and the Yankees. All right, tomorrow is the hockey game, game one of the postseason for the inaugural season, the franchise, the Vegas Golden Knights. Pre-party early. We'll be on the air. Pre-game, keep it here. Go Knights, go. Get a win and get off to a good start. Thanks to PT's Entertainment Group for all their support, all their April promotions. Get on out to PT's, will you?